Okay, Simon Tzadi Aleph. Din Basar V'Cholo Shenis Arvi. So the first three Se'ifim talk about the most relatively harmless type of Basar V'Cholo Shenis Arvi, which is if cold meat touches cold milk. The this is based on the Gemara. The Mishnah says that the end of this. Let's read the Sefer Shulchan Aruch. Right, if they touch each other, talking about cold, they are mutter. Just have to wash them where they touch, because a little schmutz might have rubbed off. You're allowed to put them in the same mepachat, means a kerchief. You know, in the old days, they were just talking about a kerchief. And it means a tick, any type of bag, etc. You're allowed to put them in the same receptacle. And we don't worry that they might accidentally touch each other. Meaning, I mean, put them not right next to each other the way they touch. You're allowed to put them in a way that they don't touch. And we don't worry that it might shift and it might touch unexpectedly. Okay. There's a bit of a discussion here in the Nosekelim about A, exactly when you need Hadacha, and B, what is Hadacha. So if you look in the Shach here, the Shach of Ganal says El Tzarch Ladiach Mekasva Bach the Dav Gokshe Echem Mehem Wach L'Shneim Yaveishon Filo Hadacha Ein Tzarch. Wach here does not mean liquid. Wach here means moist. Only if at least one of them is moist, but if they're both dry, then no schmutz can come off. They're both very dry, and then you don't need to do anything, not even to rinse it off. The later Achronim make a few exceptions to this. If you look in the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, he's actually quoting something as reinforced later in this siman. First, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, "Meluchim tzarich hadacha." Even if they're dry, he goes back and makes some exceptions. If they're salted, then perhaps there's more of a, not a blia through the whole thing, but at least a sticking of a little schmutz on the outside, so it still needs to be rinsed, even if they're dry. The first Pesach Tshuva quotes the Prima Gadim right here, who says, likewise, if it's charif, then even if it's dry, it needs a... It needs hadacha, because I guess some of the charif taste, even a few molecules, might have some significance that might rub off. Okay, so here, if you have the general rule is you need hadacha. The exception is if it's dry and it's not charif and it's not maluach, then you wouldn't need anything. The other very practical discussion is the pischei tshuva here in the, I guess, the bulk, the main part, the middle of Sukkot and Aleph, and also in Sukkot and Bet. How much washing do you have to do for Hadacha? So here he contrasts Hadacha with Shifshaf. Hadacha rinsing, meaning you, nowadays, I guess we probably rinse by putting it under the faucet, or rinsing by just dipping it in water, versus Shifshaf, you actually scrub it, like we do nowadays with a sponge, etc. So does it mean just a rinse, just put it under the water? Or does it mean you actually have to scrub it with a rag or a sponge or a paper towel or something to get it very clean? And here we have many different opinions. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva here, he quotes from the Chavos Das, who says that you only need hadacha rinsing unless it's a fatty food or an oily food, because we know the oil sticks more, and then you need a good scrubbing. This is what the Prima Gadim sounds like in the Sifsei Das. But the Chavos Das himself is more makel, says, nah, you only need to scrub when it's oily or fatty, and you cut it with a knife, so it had a lot of pressure, like duchu disakina. But otherwise, it's enough to just rinse it, And then the Beis Ephraim says more or less like that. He's just mechalik between fat and regular solid fat and fat melted into water. However, so here we have, you know, I guess two or three opinions. The Prima Gadim Sif Seh Das sounds like you only need to scrub for fatty, oily foods. Chavis Das says only fatty, oily foods that you cut with a knife, like of the wrong type, like milking knife, inflation food, etc. However, if you look in the Pisri Tshuva, the Sif Katan Gimel, he quotes the Prima Gadim in the Mishpitz Ozov, who says a little different than he sounds like in the Sif Seh Das, who says that you need, anytime two foods touch each other, you need shif shuf gadol, you need to scrub them. Any two foods that touch each other, you need to scrub. This is actually, here, if someone could volunteer to hand out some makoros, Justin.
Yes, I do it.
Menachem.
Who says you need to scrub?
The Prima Gadim in the Mishpat Zohar, quoted in the third Pisei Tshuva. So the basic question comes down to how we translate the word hadacha. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says you can put meat and milk or meat and cheese, there's more, in the same tick, in the same backpack. So the Gemara asks, won't they need hadacha if they touch each other? So they say, okay. They do, but if you put them carefully, we're not worried that they'll touch each other. Fine, the Gemara says meat and cheese needs hadacha. What does hadacha mean? So one approach is that hadacha means just rinsing. Hadacha means only rinsing. Do you ever need scrubbing? And here we had three opinions. We have the Prima Gadim in the Mishpatzos.
Is that on the Magi on the Machaber?
What?
No. Argue on the Machaber, no. Trying to reestablish what the word hadacha.
Ah, we'll see. So the first group is saying hadacha means rinsing.
And that's what it means all of a shot.
Right, but there are some things that are not the case that the Machaber describes, which are a little more chumra than the Machaber's case. Could be. Maybe the Machaber didn't discuss. So he says, but shumming, something that's fatty or oily, needs shif shif. And then we had what? Oh, sorry. Thank you. I appreciate that. Then we had the Chavos Das, who says, but if you have shaming plus duchka disakina, cutting with a knife, then you need shif shif. And then you have the Beis Ephraim, who makes some sort of pshara. He says, shaming plus Dukha de Sakina, or Shuma Nimcha B'mayim, that's diluted in water, which is very sticky and oily, need Shif Shuf. Okay, but they basically said there are some cases that need Shif Shuf, but most cases don't. However, the Prima Gadim in the Mishpatzos Zahav, thank you, quoted in the third Pisli Tshuva, says no. All foods that touch each other need Shif Shuf, need a big scrubbing. The Gemara only said that they need hadacha. So he is passing, like, if you look in the Makoros here, the Shut Rivash, Simen Chavav, which all the Echron quote, he says, I'll just read the underlined parts, Tzrichim hadacha, verwilta lomer im shifshuf, bo. Hadacha means with scrubbing, says the Shut Rivash, sheishashim biyadim, you scrub with your hands, or nowadays you use a sponge, this stam hadacha kachi, stam hadacha, whenever in Shas it says rinsing, it means scrubbing. And that is a big chiddush. Really, every place it says hadacha in Shas, it means scrubbing. Clearly, some of the places it doesn't seem to work so well. We know a little
hafa salicha. In kol shel bracha, that's not the pshat.
But this is clearly what the Rivash holds. Sorry, two. I should say two. The Prima Gadim Mishpatzos Zahav and the Shut Rivash hold that hadacha equals with shif shif, and therefore all foods that touch each other need shif shif. This is also the opinion of the Ra'ah, quoted in the second Rabbi Akiva Eger. He doesn't explain himself, you have to look it up inside. It says, Das Ra'ah ben Gabayis, Dafka Lanich Isrukli Heter, Motor Hayden, Darka Ladiha Kli, Shneim Ne'ot Shazagu, Zeb Asr B'chol Inyan. He says, you're allowed to put like trey food and a mutter kli if you're going to rinse it afterwards. But you're not allowed to let trey food touch kosher food, even if you're going to rinse it afterwards. If you look inside the rice, that's why. Because you're going to rinse it afterwards, but rinsing's not enough. You need scrubbing, not just rinsing. The Rashba seems to disagree, but nonetheless, it is a shita that has a number of Rishonim and Achronim behind it. And even in the Manu de Achronim, there are many of the modern day poskim such as the Vade Shulchan who are machmer like this, and Nira that since it's not so hard in our modern day situations to scrub things generally, that it's kedai to be machmer, and that whenever kosher touches treif, which is not so common, or fleishik touches milchik, which is also not so common, but in those rare occasions this might happen, it would be kedai, even though this is not the pashup shot, and this rivash is a chiddush. But it would be kedai to be machmer and just say, don't just rinse it, scrub it also with a sponge. Certainly nowadays that matches our general hygienic standards. So our halachic standards can keep up with our hygienic standards, and it's a kedai to be machmer like that prima gadim, even though the Pesachei Tshuva doesn't think so. Pesachei Tshuva's Megadim Gimel says, that's what the prima gadim said in Mishnah Zav, but all the Echronim said not that way. Pesachei Tshuva thinks that we don't have to be machmer like the second shot there. But okay, some of the modern day poskim say it's kedai to be machmer.
So the Rivash seems to reinterpret the Dacha to include rinsing, but also on top of that, scrubbing. What if I only scrubbed it and I didn't rinse it with water? I just used scrubbing with like some dry.
So there's a word for that. That's called kinuach. Meaning kinuach means you rub it with a rag without water.
Isn't that considered a scrubbing? So is that not good enough?
So pashtus, that is not good enough. Now, maybe if you have a wet sponge, that would be good enough. That would be like hadacha. But no, I guess you still have to rinse off what's left. Yeah, so pashtus kinuach is not good enough. You would need hadacha. Okay. I think that's it for Se'if Aleph. Some more discussions, but maybe we'll come. Discussed in Sif Beis. Sif Beis says, "Kol midis bo yadocha." This is based on the Gemara in the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? The Mishnah says you can put meat and milk in the same kerchief, in the same backpack, or the same bag, shopping bag, as long as they don't touch each other. If they do touch each other, they would need to be washed. So what does it sound like? It sounds like lechachila. You shouldn't say, let me touch my cheese to my meat and wash it afterwards. It sounds like b'diavad if they touch, you should wash them, but l'chachila, they shouldn't touch in the first place. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Fas means. So meat is by yadocha, anything that if it touched would be rinsing. Kigon l'niach basar het ritzonim garshal is ritzonim. Or here he has a example. It doesn't have to be meat and cheese. It can even be a plate, right? To put cold meat on a treif plate. Why? Dilma achav lo hadacha. It's asul hachila to get into a situation of needing hadacha, because it's a gzeira, you might forget to do hadacha and eat it, and then it'll be not 100% kosher. Therefore, in the, but he adds, v'davka, and this is the chiddush of the Bala Itzar, but it's logical, davka mevushal lavorcha v'hadacha. This is only true of cooked, ready-to-eat meat. You can't put ready-to-eat meat on a treif plate, because then you might forget and eat it without rinsing off the treif shmutz. Anything you always wash, like raw meat, etc. I mean, raw meat, they would always wash before they cooked it. So anything you always wash is no problem. Let's say, I know everyone has different standards nowadays with fruits and vegetables, etc. Let's say you always wash your apples before you eat them. I'm sure there are some people in this room who are makbid to always wash their apples before they eat them. I'm sure there are more people in this room who tell their wife that they always wash their apples before they eat them. So, if you always wash your apples, then you could put your apples in a treif plate and you could let it, you could put your apples in a treif plate because you're always going to wash it before you eat it. Here is where, let me just chazer, the Prima Gadim came up with this chumra. Prima Gadim says, that's only true of putting it on a treif plate. But to actually let it touch ham, you shouldn't do, because then you have to scrub the apple. No one ever scrubs the apple. So according to this, that's the Kibiego quoted from the Ra'ah, and that's what the Sechuba quoted from the Prima Gadim, who says, if a food touches the food, it might need scrubbing. So then it's only okay if it's something you always scrub. But just to put it on a tray plate, at least, where all you need is rinsing, according to the other acronym,
that if you let it touch some lean ham, all it would need is rinsing, then it would be okay, because you always rinse your apples if that's your minhag.
So according to the Pribagatim and the Ribash and all them, it seems that there's a change in definition between Sifalis and Sifbet of what Hadafa is.
One second. That's a good point. I think I'm just trying to find the right line. I think the simple shot in the Prima Gadim is that he would have to say that he knows the Machaber is not like him, but he's Machmer anyway.
Shouldn't the Machaber have written Sif Bet before Sif Al, according to the normal written? He writes things. I mean, you're talking about the Shitzasa, so you should have said first Shitzasa. And if you did it, that's the way it always is. Lechatchila, then b'diavad, not b'diavad, then
Machmer. Okay, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes he goes in order of where he gets it from the Torah and the other Rishonim, so he starts with what's in the Gemara and then adds what's not in the Gemara.
What are you going with there? Actually, it's like, let's say you wash not the food, but the plate.
Okay, we'll get that in a second. Good point. But before we get to that, let's forget about plates for now. Forget about plates for a moment, and let's just look at the question of the Taz here. The Taz in Sifkatan, Aleph has a Ba'ya, and it's based on an assumption. This whole din of Hadacha for a moment, forget about the Gzeri, I forget to Hadacha. Hadacha itself. What if I ate it without doing Hadacha? What if my cheese touched my meat, or I put my meat on a tray plate, or whatever, and I ate it without Hadacha? How big of an avir would that be?
Is that cold?
Matz cold. I have my cold, salami fell on a piece of cheese, cold cheese, and I ate it without hadacha. Or my cold salami fell on a treif plate, and I ate it without hadacha. How big of an avir would that be?
It's a derabanan.
What?
It's a derabanan.
Okay, it's clearly a derabanan. Well, at least in the case of meat and cheese, because you didn't cook anything. So what do I mean by that? The Taz here has a big kula, which the Chavos Das also paskins like. The Taz says that b'di'eved it's mutter. The whole inyan of hadacha is only lechatchila. It's not really treif. It's only an extra gzeira lechatchila. It's not really treif. If you ate it, you didn't eat treif. It's only a chumr lechatchila lechazal made to stay away from things that might seem like treif. The we will see a number of nafminas there in a moment. That's the Taz and Katan Aleph. You also find this in, for example, the Chavos Das quoted at the end of the first Pesachei Tshuva. The Pesachei Tshuva doesn't quote all of the details, but he says, for example, Im nimlachu nitzla blo hadacha, shenimla mashu shalpanu kadei klipa, filo achi mocha blo klipa, chen bezer mashu, mocha filo pterolach, di yefshar klal hadacha, ayin Chavos Das. The Chavos Das holds the whole inyan of Hadacha, this din of Hadacha, the Taz, and the Chavos Das says it is just a Chumra Lechatchila. What's the nafkin if it's just a Chumra Lechatchila? So the Chachila is before you eat it, right? Or according to the Bimim Gadim, even scrub it before you eat it. What's the nafkamina? So the Chavos Das gives a few nafkaminas. What about cases where rinsing wouldn't help? Like, for example, says that what are some of the Chavos Das's examples, right? What are some nafkaminas? So what about, for example, a liquid? Let's look for, what would be an example of a liquid? A piece of ham, cold ham, fell into your cold orange juice.
So you can't rinse the orange juice from the ham schmutz because you can't rinse a liquid. So says the Chabas Das, well, if you can't rinse it, then b'dieved it is mutter. So a liquid that touched cold treif, says the Chabas Das, quoting Episkechuva, mutter b'dieved. Or, for example, if you forgot to do hadacha and salted or roasted the meat. Meat touched cheese or touched treif. You forgot to do hadacha. And now you salted it or roasted it. So what happens? Salting and roasting, tzli and melicha, makes the tam go through something, right? Perpetuates the taste through the item. So now, maybe there's a little schmutz on the outside, but now that you salted it, the schmutz went inside. Right? To at least the outer layer. So if you have to throw out the outer layer, the Chabas Das says, mutter b'dieved, you don't have to discard the outer layer.
What's the logic? What's the
halachic? And, okay, just give the third and afternoon to the Chabas Das. Says the Chabas Das, what if you have an Isser Mashin? All right, this is all the end of the first Pesach Tshuva. the cold treif. Says the Chabas Das, mutter b'dieved, even in an Isser Mashin. An Isser Mashin is like chametz on Pesach or something that's not bottle, right? Meaning, even if it's something that's not bottle, even if it's something where one speck would asr a whole gallon, would asr, you know, let's say, I mean, this is the example he discusses. A piece of bread fell into the water and you removed it. So now the water needs rinsing to get off the little schmutz of the bread. But you can't rinse water on Pesach. So it's an Isser Mashu. So should it make all the water treif? He says, no, this whole thing's a chumra l'chachila. What the Chabas Das is saying is that, I mean, it's the Taz says it first. Is that this whole idea of hadacha, this is not a halachically significant presence. If a little schmutz might or might not rub off when two things touch, that's not halachically significant. That's not considered macholos asuros. Halachically, that is below the threshold of significance. It doesn't exist. It's just a chumra midrabanan lechatchila to rinse it, just to stay away from any mixture of milk and meat or treif and kosher.
This is for sure no worse than the shach in Pites about cooking in dirty pots and pans, no?
No, the shach was talking about waiting 6 hours.
Right.
He wasn't talking about a dirty meat in a dirty milking pan. He was talking about pyro in a dirty place like that.
Doesn't this have to be defined when he said it's bad? If it's banned, what is this going
it's
on?
It's not banned.
It's not banned? What's going on?
Well, the Chabas Das says when two cold things touch, nothing happens that's halachically significant. They both stay the way they were.
What's the reason?
What?
There's nothing nidbak. If there's nothing nidbak, you don't need hadacha.
Okay.
If there's something nidbak, it's be'en. So it's rabbana.
So I think what he means is that whatever is nidbak is a couple of ma'a, is so small as to be and invisible as to be insignificant halachically.
We don't have such a concept.
What?
Be'en, we don't have such a concept. I don't understand.
Ben means
you can't make things up just because you like them. What's that
okay.
Mean? That's the explanation. It doesn't
okay. A Ben has to have mamashut. If it doesn't have mamashut, then it's not a Ben.
If it doesn't have mamashut, you don't need hadacha. That's not
an okay, it's just a chomer lechachila.
But according to the third afternoon of Chabas Das, then that is something that's considered chashuv. Even if it's not Ben, it's still considered chashuv.
What do you mean?
So if that's also mamashu, this will still be allowed. So why would that be allowed?
Because let's say chametz, even one in a million is usher. Because this is not one in a million. This is less than one in a million. This is zero in a million. Yeah, l'chachila, Chazal told you to try and like rinse off even what's not considered significant. But it's not one. It's less than one in a million. It's zero. It doesn't count halachically. It's only a chomer l'chachila. He gets this from the Taz. If you look at the Taz, let's look at it.
You're talking about something that presumably has no taste residue, right?
What?
No taste. Residue.
Yeah, here's the question. What does the Chabas Das? Does the Chabas Das mean when two things touch, no schmutz of one sticks to the other? It's a little hard to imagine that's what he means. It's a little hard to imagine there's not a couple of molecules here and there. What he means is that...
In the orange juice case, you're saying that you're not going to taste a tiny bit of salt from the ham or something.
For sure you're not going to taste it. But even if it wasn't ham, it was chametz on Pesach, which is also one in a million when you don't taste it. It's still mutter. Because this doesn't count as one in a thousand. This counts as zero.
Halachically, it's not even a mashu.
It's less than a mashu. Correct. It's less than a mashu. It's less than a mashu. It is only a chumr l'chachila, because it looks bad. He gets this from the Taz. Let's read the Taz. Let's read the Taz Aleph, because no one believes it. Kol midi d'bar yadacha, b'tur kasad b'zeh, shma amino kol midi, etc. Yesh lahak shos, mai shma amino d'kamer ha-hi-hi, d'behed yom rinu sisa v'ashu l'ino v'ma b'zeh. Why is it turning to be a dive that you shouldn't let them touch the chachila? It's a before Mishnah. Don't let the meat and cheese touch. Shlomo d'ahab midi d'avkur b'ashur g'vina atzom v'kli shalem yitzor v'zor, kamashol n'chol midi d'bar yadacha v'filo v'kli. Okay, the chiddush of the Torah is that not only is it explicit in the Mishnah, you can't let your meat and cheese touch, you even can't let your meat and milk plate touch the chachila, or meat and tray plate. Because Abaye says it shouldn't touch because it would need to be rinsed. Since he said whatever the reason is that whatever needs to be rinsed, you shouldn't let it touch in the first place. So anything that needs to be rinsed, you shouldn't let it touch in the first place. Here's the important part. The Beis Yosef is a cloud that's going to come up a few times in your day. Whenever something is much b'di'evet, we don't make a gzeira that you might accidentally do it. You know a lot, right? There's gzeiras. Don't do X because you might do Y, right? Or you might forget and do Y. That's half the Torah, right? Don't do X because you might forget and do Y. That's only true if Y is mamish treif. If Y is much b'di'evet, we don't make gzeiras. Don't say don't do X because then you might forget and do Y, which wouldn't be mahadrin. No. We don't make gzeiras atu not being mahadrin, atu not being lahadrin. We make gzeiras atu doing something which is an iser gummer. Don't do X because you might do Y, which is an iser gummer. But we never say don't do X because you might do Y, which would be only mutter b'dievet. No, since even if you made a mistake, it would be mutter b'dievet. Why need gzeira? Gzeira is to keep you away from a mamish sin, not to keep you away from not having the highest standard. To keep you away from not having the highest standard, we don't need gzeira. That's the general rule. We never make a gzeira lest you might do something which would really be mutter b'dievet anyway. We're not that from.
You mean the distinction between iser bar and iser safek? What is that?
Okay. So let's read on. V'humukach v'kama dukti. V'moshe natek v'sef dalet. V'im kena ma'icha shirin kama dumal ochu lo hadocha. What's the gzeira? The gzeira is don't let it touch gzeira because you might forget and eat it without hadacha, right? That's the gzeira. So says the Taz, he has a problem. You only make a gzeira because you might forget and do something that would be a big, that would be a sin. We don't make a gzeira that you might do something which would really be okay with the other. Taz's question is, even if you did so, it would be mutter b'dievet. Even if you ate it without hadacha, you wouldn't have eaten treif. You wouldn't have done an avera mamish. You would have just not done the lechachila chumra. This is all a chumra lechachila. Therefore, he has a question: why make gzeira to something which is mutter b'dievet anyway? This is where the Chavos Da'as got it from. Not the only place. That's his answer. That's what he says. V'im kenaf amai chashin kam deba achul adocha came to achul adocha in iser dafila makom shor klipa yishdeyas b'sim zeishar b'dievet lo klipa. Okay. Now, this question is based on an assumption, right? The question of the Taz which is why make a gzeira atu something which is mutter b'dieved. So the Taz answers, he says, you know what? Sometimes we make gzeiras even up to something that's mutter b'dievet. Why? He says that, we don't say, it's subtle, we're not allowed to make gzeira, don't do X, because you might end up doing something else Y, which would be mutter b'dievet. Nah, we're not that from. However, over here, it's not that you might do something else which would be a problem. It's that if you let your meat and cheese touch, you will automatically eat them in a problematic way unless you rinse them. Meaning, the default, the status quo, in most cases, the gzeirah, don't do X, because you might do something else wrong and then do Y. This is a different gzeirah. Don't do X, because the status quo is that you'll do Y. You'll eat it without rinsing. Unless you do something to take away the yisur. So that's the tazah skill. There is, don't do X, because you might do something which is Avera Y, but that's not our case. Our case is don't do X, because you will do Y unless you rinse it. It's the question of which is the Kumba say, which is the Sheva Al Tasa, passive or active. There's a Xera, don't do X because you might actively do something which will be Y, or don't do X because passively you'll do Y unless you do something to save yourself. That's your invite Yisr Bar. And that, the Tazis gets into this tremendous tachak here. He says, happy the Xera ought to do something which is much of the Evid. The answer is, because this Xera is more serious, because you have to do an action to avoid an isser.
That makes sense according to what we're saying by raw meat. Since the status quo isn't that you're going to do an avera, so then that why the mochel chatzchila.
Right. So that's the task here he gets into chak. First says, how can we make zero? Because this isn't so chomer, it's much of the evet. The answer is yes, it's not so chomer, it's much of the evet, but it's chomer in another angle in that it's already a problem until you rinse it. That you don't have to do an action to do the next thing wrong. You have to do an action to save yourself from the isser. And therefore, his klal is, we make Xera, what's the klal according to the Taz? That Gazrinan atu shema yase davar she'aser bidi eved o lo yase o shema lo yase davar umimela yavor al iser lechatima.
The Taz doesn't say any place that you can eat iser but in.
That what?
The Taz doesn't say any place, he doesn't hint that you can eat Isser.
So obviously he considers this not an Isser ban.
No, because there's no place that it says that there was a piece there. The Chachamim goes there, that when the things touch, they shouldn't have touched. They touch, you have to be Madiyah. Why do you have to be Madiyah? Because we don't know what happened. But that doesn't mean you don't see any place in the Taz. The Taz says you can eat when you look and you see Vina and Basar, the Taz doesn't say you can eat it.
No, Barur. If you're
no, because according to the Havodak, you said you are.
No, if your cheese touched your meat and you see a piece of meat on your cheese, everyone agrees that's Israel. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about when you don't say anything.
So then you have to explain the Havodak.
He also means when you don't see anything.
No, because you said that in the liquid. This, what does that mean?
Isn't the whole thing in the effect of Nuach Vadacha, the same concept of the Taz? There's not also the Dievet afterwards, when you wait between meat, between the milk and meat.
I don't know, maybe it is. It's hard to tell with these things.
That's the whole definition of buying into the Sadai and buying Hadacha. It's always like that.
Could be. But in any case, we don't make
it
zero.
The Taz later on calls it a Tchak, but I'm saying Yisvara makes a lot of sense.
Right. But Lemaisa, of course, this Taz is Dachuk. The simple pshat is very pashat. The simple pshat is that it's an Isser Gomer, a filu b'dieved. What's the answer to this question? Why make Gzeira? Because eating it without Hadacha is
Usser, Gamre, Afilu Bidyevit. Meaning, they're arguing that this Holden Vadacha is a real Heftza of Taroves? Like, is that really there's the end that sticks from one onto the other, and it's an Isser Gummer? Or the Taz Nechavis Das says, nah, there's really nothing that sticks from one to another that's halachically significant. It's just a Chomer beyond. The Pashup shot is that, why are we making Xera? Because it is an Isser B'Diavit.
I thought the Shach says that you don't need to rinse it. So if the Shach says that you don't need to rinse it, doesn't
in what case?
In, even in the case of, I thought it was in the case of the cooked meat, not to throw up.
The Shach says you don't need to rinse it. I'm not sure which Shach you're referring to. So the Shach and Aleph, they're both dry, but we're talking about here if they're moist. There's also the Shach in that we didn't.
But if they're both dry, right? So the case where you need Hadacha, meaning.
Is where at least one of them is moist.
So if they're both dry, then eating it without Hadacha is fine.
Yeah, even with Hafila. We're not talking about that. Then there's no Chakira.
And also, if it's raw, then also you don't need to.
No, then eating without Hadacha is a problem, but we know you're going to do Hadacha anyway, because everyone washed their meat before they cooked it, and therefore we didn't need Xera. Because we know you're going to wash it.
Because why is it Asur B'di'evet then?
What?
Why is it Asur B'di'evet?
If you don't wash it. If you eat it without Hadacha. That seems to be the pshat of the Maharshal. If you look in Beis, Kasim Maharshal, Perikol Abasim and Dalid, he says, Fiza lo yofa osan ahochi drachim sh'okhan herring meluchim al kliya goyim. Then it's a problem that everyone eats herring when they travel. They stay at goyish inns and they eat herring. They bring their own herring, or maybe all the herring is kosher in those days. But they eat it on the treif plates. How could herring ever be an esser? It's a good question. They eat it on the treif plates. They once they put it on the treif plates, they should have to rinse it, and they eat it without rinsing. And for sure it's a problem that people who buy pickled cucumbers in salt water and eat in the goyish bowl. Because even the pickles need to be rinsed after they're put in the treif bowl. Says, the salt water, which is a liquid. What does the Marshal say? Says the Marshal, if a liquid was put in a treif bowl, you stay at a goyish inn. And it's bad enough you eat the herring and the pickles, but also the pickles are soaking in a bowl in salt water. This liquid, he said, Nesra Kula, Nipnei She'i Efshar Lehadicha. It's all usher because the efshel adicha. He seems to take this very seriously, right? The Marshal seems to say that no, this is a significant problem. That if you are if you're eating at the goyish inn, then if you have a liquid in the goyish bowl in the treif bowl, it becomes all treif. So he's clearly against the taz and thinks that it is. Thinks that it would asher b'diavad, and likewise, if you held that it was an isser gomer, then lachora you would say that it was nesar at least kedei klipa, without getting into details. If you forgot to rinse it and you salted it, then whatever schmutz on the outside is really there. It's a real thing. The salt would drive it into the outer layer, and the whole outer layer would betray if you'd have to peel it off and throw it in the garbage. Or if you roasted it without rinsing it, then it would penetrate into the outer layer, and the heat would drive it into the outer layer, and you'd have to peel off the outer layer of your meat and throw it in the garbage. Right, so there are many nafkaminas, not just the theoretical question of the Taz, that he makes a dachuk assumption, and then has to go with the dachuk answer for it, but there are cases where, meaning the nafkamina is not, if I put my meat in a treif bowl, or let it touch cheese, or touch treif, do I have to rinse it? Everyone agrees you have to rinse it. The nafkamina is, what if I can't rinse it? Because I already salted it and the schmutz went inside, or I already roasted the schmutz went inside, or it's a liquid that I can't rinse. Then would it possibly cause some treifness in this food or not? So the Taz and the Chavos Das would think no. The Taz ends by rejecting this Marshal. Says, in the Goyish, and then that's like the Diabed, because you don't have any Kalim, you're stuck with Shas Lachak, and it's all mutter.
Right? Taz thinks that's all mutter in the Goyishin, don't worry about it. It's all mutter b'dieved, and you're stuck in the Goyishin b'dieved. Don't worry about it.
What exactly is this case here? If I went to a non-Jew's house and he pulls out a bowl from his...
Okay, hold that thought.
So we assume that it's dirty bowl?
That's the question of what are the hygiene standards in our days or in those days. We'll come back to that in 2 minutes. Okay, halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, a lot of people do not like a lot of the later achronim. Do not like this assumption that Taz and the Chavos Das, that there's only a chumra b'yalma and it's only a chumra l'chachila. They think that no, that it can really be a serious isser. However, However, halacha l'maisa, we would not be so much on the Chavos Das, but we would say that l'maisa, whenever Ashkenaz or Mekel, Sfarim are also Mekel. Kol Shekin. L'maisa would be much of because of Bittul B'Shisha, and that the Chavos Das quotes, if you look inside, from the Rashba, right, except for Yisr Mashahu. I don't know what we do about an Isser Mashu, which has no Bittul B'Shisha, but Isser Mashu is pretty rare, meaning we don't really have a lot of Isser Mashus now, nowadays, just Chomis on Pesach. But L'maisa, what would we say in this case? If you did, let's say, cold food, cold treif touched your liquid, or cold meat touched your milk, right? Or you put your liquid in a treif dirty bowl. Then we would say that's much of a d'efid, even if the Chavos Das is wrong. There's a better reason it's much of a d'efid, because of the tiny amount of schmutz that might stick there is going to be built a b'shish into the liquid. So I don't know what we do if it was chametz on Pesach, that might be more of a problem. Then we wouldn't be comfortable seeing so much on the Chavos Das. But l'maisa, we don't have to be so much on the Chavos Das. We match these people when they put their pickles in the salt water in the goyish bowls. That's much even without the Chavos Das, because whatever is amount, tiny amount of schmutz in there is batel b'shishim. And even in this case, where you forgot to do hadacha and you salted or roasted it, the Yad Yehuda has another svar l'hakel. L'maisa, we can say it's mutter because of the svara of the Yad Yehuda, even if we don't know, like the Chavos Das or the Yad Yehuda svara, that a tiny bit doesn't penetrate into the food. That when do we say that if you roast or salt something, it drives the taste through the food? That's if it's more than a tiny bit, if it's a significant amount. If it's such a tiny amount, then it's just not enough to spread through the food, and we can be mekel. So halacha l'maisa, we could probably be mekel like the Chavos Das, not for his reason, because his reason is a bit of a chiddush, and the Taz gets into a dechak, but that is, I mean, the Chavos Das and the Taz are very chashuv achronim, that is a very, very significant sheet in the achronim, that this whole inyan of hadacha is only a chumra bialma and not a real presence of iser. It's not a real chetz shel iser. It's just a chumra bialma.
So how does this tie in if, let's say, non-kosher restaurant where they have utensils and
okay. Plates
that are clean?
Good. So let's go back to now let's get to the utensils, okay? So here, what about utensils? In Sif Aleph, we weren't discussing utensils. All of a sudden, Sif Beis, we told you about putting in treif utensils. But we want to know exactly what the circumstances are of these treif utensils. And particularly, we're curious to know, are we talking about clean utensils or dirty utensils, right? Aren't we particularly curious to know that? So, let's look at the Ramah. The Davka, he says, when is utensils a problem? Davar she'ish b'lach luchitz k'tzas. Something that is a little moist. Something that's totally dry and low balakira pitsone, if the treif kli only became treif through cold, meaning maybe it was treif was salted there or treif was soaked there, but it wasn't actually heated, then davar yavish klal. Then you don't have to worry, even l'chachila, there's no problem, you can put a dry food there. By kufchav beis, he means kufchav aleph, which we will, it's on a sheet. The Ramah here, we need a little background. The Shach gives us the background. And the Taz also, but the Shach at greater length. they start here with a stira. The Darkei Moshe in two books. What are the two other books of the Ramah on Yoredeya besides the Hagos?
The Torah
Chatas, the freestanding book, and the Perish on the Torah called Darkei Moshe. So on both of them, he asks a stira. Let's find some room for the stira. Isaac? Are you? Oh. Sorry. Okay, he is a stira between an Orchos Chayim and a Bala Iter. It's in the Darkei Moshe here, but it's quoted in the Shas of Kavim Gimel, which is a very long Shach. He starts with the Orchos Chayim, which is based on the Gemara, the Shach questions a little. The Archos Chaim is Rav Asher Milunil. It's, we have it on the shelf of the base medrash. It's guys don't learn that much in Yeshiva and Gemara, but it's quoted a decent amount in the base Yosef. So in the Archos Chaim, says that you're allowed to, if you have clean kelim of a goy, you're allowed to put in even a davar charif, even spices, even onions, because dry, hard things don't take a time out of the kli, it's no problem. So he seems like even the chachila, if you have a clean kli, it's no problem. What could be the problem with a clean bowl? Like, a clean bowl doesn't have any schmutz. I understand if you put hot things in a clean bowl, there would be a blia that would come out, right? But what's the problem with cold things in a clean bowl?
Clean and dry, or... just clean?
Good question. He seems to say it's clean and dry. We'll have to see what's exactly the dafka there. Yes?
What would be the problem if it's just cold water? Like, it just got washed.
Okay, so hold that thought and we will explain. Okay, so the good question, we'll come back to it in half a second. So here's the Darkei Moshe, and this is based on this is based on the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that a chametz to kli, you're allowed to put cold matzah in. Well, let's assume it's clean, right? You're allowed to put cold matzah or cold kosher Pesach chametz to kli. You're allowed to put cold kosher into a treif kli. That's the Gemara in Pesachim and the Orchos Chaim. On the other hand, however, the Bala Iter said right here. What did the Bala Iter say? If you put your meat in a treif plate, it needs hadacha. And therefore, you shouldn't put it in the first place, because you might forget to do hadacha. So here is the stira. The Archos Chaim, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, says that it is totally mutter to put kosher food in a clean treif kli. I'm talking about cold, obviously. I'm not talking about hot. However, right here in the Bala Iter, and they're both quoted by the Torah, which makes it more difficult, right? So you can't just say, you could say, it's a machlokas Bala Iter or Orchos Chaim, but that's not going to help you because they're both quoted by the Torah. It can't be machlokas Torah. He has to have a shita. He says, what does he say? He said, it's aser to put kosher meat or kosher food in a treif kli, because it will need hadacha, and you might forget to do hadacha. But the Orchos Chaim says, no, you can just do it stam, no problem. So how would you answer this stira? How would you answer this stira?
So in the case of Orchos Chaim, he's talking about food that's normal to wash before.
It's going to be hard, because basically the Gemara says you can put matzah in a cold chametz to kli. You don't wash your matzah before you eat it, that would be gross.
Right.
Even in the old days when they had Sephardi matzah, still, you don't wash it right before you eat it, it's still gross. So not so pashut. And also he's talking about spices. One of the examples of Orchos Chaim is spices.
Right.
You don't wash spices before you eat them, they would disappear.
Yeah.
So okay, that's not going to work. So the Darkei Moshe has three answers. Now here it's a little tricky. It depends if you ask the Torah Chatzis way or the Darkei Moshe way. The Darkei Moshe gives three answers. his first answer is, if you notice, the Orchaz Chaim talk about yavish, about dry. So, answer is number one. This is found in the Darkei Moshe.
What's dry? The kosher food?
Yes, exactly. Although the chora, the plate, would also have to be dry, or else the kosher food would also get wet. He says, sorry. Darkei Moshe said, this is dry food, and this is moist food. What's the principle? Nothing sticks to dry food, but moist food picks up schmutz. Could be. Could be.
Isn't that worth delineating? Wouldn't it make sense to have it's just a specific difference that would be make sense that you would write the difference.
He did. The Orchaz Chaim said yavish. Great. Perfect. So there it is. And the Darkei Moshe talked about stam meat. Stam meat is moist. The Darkei Moshe has another answer which isn't going to help for the Orchaz Chaim. Here it's only going to help for the tour in Orach Chaim and in Pesach. So that's why the Shach doesn't quote it. He says, this is talking about Pesach, and this is talking about Treif. Treif, we're more Machmir. Pesach, we are more Mekel. But this works only for the tour Orach Chaim, not... And the Gemara Pesach, not for the Orchaz Chaim, who's talking about kosher and treif. So that's why the Shach doesn't quote this answer. This answer, the stira between like the Bala Itter and the Gemara Pesach, all of which are quoted by the Torah. All three of these things are quoted by the Torah. The Orchaz Chaim is quoted by the Torah. Was the Orchaz Chaim quoted by the Torah? The Beis Yosef. One second. No, that's the Beis Yosef. The Gemara Pesach is quoted by the Torah. The Bala Itter is quoted by the Torah. So if you want to answer the stira between the Bala Itter and the Gemara Pesach, you say, we're more Mekel by Pesach, more Machmer by Treif. But that's not going to help you to answer the stira between the Bala Itter and the Orchaz Chaim. Now, we know we're usually more Machmer Pesach by Treif, but that's Machlokes Rishonim. Not everyone agrees to that. There are many Rishonim who say in many cases that we're more Mekel in Pesach than Treif, so it's possible. But let's leave that aside for now. Yes?
So I'll try to understand. The Bala Itter is saying it's usher to put kosher food in a Treif, in a tray, because you will need a dacha.
Right.
But if you interpret that to be talking about moist food, whatever you can do a dacha on moist food.
No, moist doesn't mean wet. It means like moist food, like meat that's like moist, that's still full of juice, etc. That's a moist food.
And you would do a dacha on that normally?
Sure. You can wash a piece of meat. Why not? Yeah. You know, like a juicy hamburger. That's moist.
It's not going to ruin it.
Yeah. No, it's not going to ruin it.
More rich sauce on that?
Yeah, no problem. Okay, the other answer that he says in the Darkei Moshe and in the Toras Chatas, the Darkei Moshe Toras Chatas gives another answer. He says, and this is based on a distinction in some Gersos, or the Shach thinks it's not any Gersos, it's just misinterpretation, but in the Gemara Pesachim, he says there's two different kinds of treif kelim. Here is a kli shebala bitzonein. And here is a kli shebala bechamin. A kli can become treif cold or hot. How does a kli become treif hot? Easy, you put hot treif food. How does a kli become treif cold? It kavush or?
What's
a kavush? Kavush is soak. If you soak for 24 hours treif food and then it becomes treif. Or, what's another way to make something treif cold?
Does the term treif mean heat? Like, is that another way it is?
No, but think of better than charif. Give me the one specific chemical.
Malicha.
You can salt something. Right? So if you salt or soak, that's all of it. A kli that became treif through tzonein is not as permeated as a tree that became kli that became treif with chamin. So therefore he says, if the kli became treif with hot, then it's so permeated with so much schmutz that you can't even put your kosher food there because it'll need hadacha. But if the kli only became treif through malicha or kavush, through soaking or salting through cold, then it's not so permeated and you can put your kosher food there and it won't, nothing bad will happen.
Are we more mastered by treif than yoga? Would
that yoga
be a factor in?
No, it doesn't seem to be. Now, of course, what is the most obvious answer? What would you all have said to this stira? You wouldn't have said any of these. What would you have said? Read carefully. Read what I put on the board carefully.
surface, but kosher food clean.
How would you have answered this, Dira?
One's clean, one's dirty.
Exactly, right? Meaning, here he said it was clean. Bala Iter never said it was clean. This is the other answer of the Torah's Chatzos that the Shach quotes. This is a clean kli, and this is a dirty kli. That makes a lot of sense to us, particularly with modern-day kelim. Once you wash a kli, it doesn't have any... What could the problem possibly be, right? You wash a kli in the sink or the dishwasher. We all know it's sparkling clean. Why would it possibly get schmutz onto your kosher food? Right? If I have a regular, contemporary at least, clean bowl or plate, and I put kosher food there, what could possibly happen? It's sparkling clean. If it's a dirty one, then I understand. Of course I shouldn't put my kosher food. Let's say I have a sandwich. If I have a sandwich and I go to the guy's house, a cold sandwich, a cold chocolate spread sandwich, and I put it on a regular kli of a regular person's house nowadays that's sparkling clean, what could possibly happen? It's sparkling clean. If I put it on a dirty plate, I go to a college dorm, to some Goyim, room of some Goyim, and they have plates there, then they don't have quite the same hygienic standards as Balavatin. Then, I understand I shouldn't put my chocolate spread sandwich there, because it'll get schmutz from all the bacon they ate and all the sausage and whatever else they put on that plate, then who knows. That is, Torah's Chatzos suggests that also. And that to us might seem to be the most pashut answer. Okay, let's see how we paskin among these answers. How do we poskim?
And that dirty food also, on top of that, probably has to be non-kosher food. If the non-Jew has a dirty plate, but it's made of lettuce and whatever...
No, but let's assume that he probably ate non-kosher food on it until proven otherwise. Right? A stom dirty plate of a non-Jew will assume he ate trade food unless you can prove otherwise. Yeah. Right? That's a reasonable assumption.
We assume that there's non-kosher food that's not on the plate currently that was on the plate before?
Yeah, why not? Don't goyim eat non-kosher most of the time?
Unless,
unless they're vegans.
Or something.
No, I know that, but they could have washed it since then.
Yeah, could have, but okay. So let's assume the normal derech ha'olam is that, you know, most meals are not vegan.
But all you see in front of you is a clean plate with some lettuce on it.
That's a good question. Sorry, Ian. I mean, what if you have a clean plate with lettuce? Can you assume that you take the lettuce off and it's clean? Or do you have? Can you? Or should you assume if there's lettuce on it, there might have been another course on it beforehand? Not sure.
Chicken salad.
It's a good question. Yesh la'ayin. Certainly the Shach expressed it is that unless you know it's clean, you can't be mekel. You have to know. So if you see lettuce on the plate, you don't know. It's a used plate. It's in the middle of a meal. Who knows? Maybe the first course they had bacon on the plate, and the second course they put lettuce. So until proven otherwise, you'd have to be nacher. Okay, how do we paskin? All these deos are quoted by the Shach. What does the Ramah say? How does the Ramah paskin among these four answers? Or three of them are real live options. What does the Ramah say? What does the Ramah say? Is he very machmer or very makel?
There's two criteria.
Two criteria. Is that very machmer or very makel?
Makel. That's not.
When you have
not
all
four.
He is very machmer. Why? He basically says it's only mutter, says the Ramah. Let's get the psak here. Says the Ramah. When is it mutter? It's mutter only if the food is dry
and
exactly. Mutter only if food is yavish and kli was bolea bitsone. What he's basically saying is one and three l'chumra. Meaning, he's only mekel, he's mesopik. Maybe the real answer is moist food and dry food. Maybe the real answer is kli that was bolea hot or kli that was bolea cold. He's only mekel if you have both things. If the kli was bolea cold and your food is dry. That's a big chumra. You need two factors together to be makel. The Taz... Correct. The Taz here in Sifkat and Gimel is Magia, the Ramah. Says the Ramah can't mean to be so machmer. So the Taz, Ramah, Lefi, Hagas, Taz, he's not Magia, the Ramah, based on any type of research into the early printings of the Ramah, etc. He's just based on his Svara, what he thinks the Ramah sounds like in his other books, etc. He says, no, it's mutter if food is yavesh, or, now this doesn't fit into the words of the Ramah. He has to change the wording of the Ramah, which makes me not likely to believe that he's right. Meaning, he could be right in his opinion. He can have whatever opinion he wants. I'm not inclined to believe that he's right that the Ramah just had a printing error or something. No, if the food is, or if the kli was boleya bitsoni. This would be 1 and 3 lakula. Meaning, he can't change the basic words of the Ramah, just the connectors, right? He says, no, the Ramah is bringing two factors. But he really needs to be mako, either way. If the food is dry, then it's mutter, who cares how the kli was boleya. If the kli was boleya cold, it's mutter, who cares what kind of food it is. He meant to be mako either way. However, the Shach says, all of this is ridiculous. The Shach says there's no makor for any of these things. The Shach says that there's the dry food and the moist food, there's no makor. The difference between whether it's boleya b'tzonein or the kli's boleya b'chamin, there's no makor. It's not in the Gemara, it's not even in all the Rishonim, who the Ramah thinks it. Says these are all wrong. What is the Shach paskin? What is the Shach paskin exactly? There's only one factor. If the kli is clean or dirty. If you have a dirty kli, then, of course, you can't put your kosher food in the dirty kli. You'll get schmutz, and you might forget to wash off the schmutz, and then you'll be eating treif. If it's a clean kli, then what can the problem be? It's a clean kli, it's sparkling clean. What could it possibly do to your food? Which, again, now, this resonates with us, because we have modern-day kalim that you can clean well. Meaning, in the old days, when they used pottery, you couldn't really clean it well, so it's not so pasha that... That the Shach is right, but certainly to us the Shach resonates because all our kalim you can clean well, and once you clean the kalim, like you go to a regular guy's house, not a college dorm room, like a married family, normal adult people, you go to the house, a guy's house, and he takes a plate out of his kitchen cabinets. Of course, it's going to be sparkling clean. He's not a he's a normal person. He's a regular human being. Of course, he has clean plates. You take out a fleishig plate someplace or milchig plate. Of course, they're sparkling clean. We're regular people, again, regular adults' houses. They're sparkling clean. So what could the problem possibly be? There's no schmutz there to get on your food, and that's the psach of the shach.
Sometimes, after going through dishwasher,
you'll have some food stuck to it. Our dishwashers don't always work as well. But in regular houses. They, when they take stuff out of the dishwasher, they see it's not so clean, they clean it better.
When you go to a restaurant, there's no excuse.
You've never had a plate come out with food
and stuff. Yeah, and then you wash it again.
No, I'm saying a restaurant.
In a restaurant? I've never gone to a restaurant. I've not recently gone to a restaurant and gotten a dirty plate, no. I have not.
Especially not a tray plate.
Right. Yeah, I only frequent kosher restaurants, but I assume that in this regard they're probably the same. And I've never gotten a dirty plate at a restaurant. I don't know. What? No, it doesn't make a difference if it's Ben Yomo or Eino Ben Yomo.
What about Bas Bechalon? Is this the same rule applied to Bas Bechalon? Unless you clean the plate, you just use it for meat and milk?
Yes, so far. Although, don't leave yet. Don't go home yet, because we have more details to fill. What? Okay. Yes. So far. Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. Let's look at, the Shach tells us to. Even the Ramah, you see at the end of the Ramah, Ayin Lekamen Sim Kof Kof Beis? Do all your Shofanar say at the end of Sim Beis, Ayin Lekamen Sim Kof Kof Beis? You have Aleph, okay. Well, it used to be the original printed Kuf Kuf Beis, but that's clearly a typo. It means Kuf Kuf Aleph, and I put Kuf Kuf Aleph because not everyone has it in their volume. It depends what color Shulchan Aruch you have on the Makor sheet. Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Kuf Kuf Aleph said, hey, Im Hegel Kliya Tzarech Liban Asul Hashtam Shal Bechamen Afil Shalai Deish. If you're supposed to do Liban, you only did Hagala. We'll get to all these things, then you're not allowed to use it for hot food at all. Ahaga. So what it's talking about, you improperly kashered something. For our purposes, kashering something improperly is the same as not kashering it at all. You have a treif kli. You have a treif kli. Says the Mishmachaber, you can't use a treif kli for any hot food, even if you have kashered it. Says the Ramah, Avol motel shabzot tzone, you can put cold food in a treif kli. Afilo l'chachila, totally much, even l'chachila, no need for hadach or anything. Al yidei hadach av shif shav heitev. What does he mean by this? He doesn't mean the food afterwards. He means, if you rinse and scrub the kli well, if you wash your kli and it's clean, then you're allowed to put your kosher food in a tray of kli. The kolshkim kli shesar hagala. And for sure, if the kli only needed hagala and you didn't kasher it, you have a tray of kli. You need to do hagala, you didn't do hagala. You need to do liban, you didn't do liban. It's still a tray of kli. You're allowed to put cold food there after you scrub it well. So the Ramban, Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, agrees with the Shach.
Either Hagala or Liban?
No. Either it needed Liban and you did Hagala, or it needed Hagala and you did nothing.
Oh.
If it needed Hagala and you did Liban, it would be kosher.
Right.
So I see where you were going, but I stopped you in time before you walked off the cliff. So this is what's peculiar, of course. All of a sudden, Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, in the Siman of Treif Kalim, there are Ma Paskins like the Shach. And he says, if it's clean, once you did Hadach v'shif shem heitev, here we have a little machlokas. How well do you have to clean the kli? How well do you have to clean the plate? Anyone know what the shach here says? This long shach, Sukkot and Gimel, what was his maskana? Get lost in all the other details. He says, all you need is kinuach. Just wipe it with a rag. You don't need water at all. That's very makeup. He says, all you need is kinuach with a rag, that's good enough. Even though my mother wouldn't let me eat from it.
Right.
Yes, that's less. The shach in Siman Tzadi Aleph says kinuach. That's less. It's not even with water. Right? That's like, I'm sure if I just, you know, wipe it with a napkin, now it's clean. Right? No one will let you get away with that.
Isn't that a shita dough? Because he says that the only issue is...
But still, you really can get off all the schmutz by washing, wiping it with a napkin without washing it? Go ask your wife if she thinks you'll get off the schmutz. But the shach thinks you'll get off enough of the schmutz that what's left will be insignificant. However, the Ramah in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, he's a little more machner. He says, Hadacha, rinsing, the shifshuf, and scrubbing, heitev. Well, you really need to wash it properly. Like what we do nowadays, we wash our dishes properly. You need to do a proper dishwashing. Okay, the Ramah says that at least if you do a proper dishwashing, we would be makbar like the Ramah. We wouldn't keep the cool of the shop.
What it says about Ayin Makana, that's the Ramah himself saying it.
So it's never 100% clear.
If it is, where do you want to tell us?
Aha. So this is a bit of a mystery. If the Ramah himself later on said like the Shach, and he might have even been the one to write in Ayin Makana. It's always hard to tell. I mean, you can tell. If you go back to the first Rishon, you can see what's really the Ramah and what's by the later printers.
It doesn't make any sense.
So, what's Pshat in the Ramah? It's a good question, no? What's Pshat in the Ramah? Niralani is Daiti. I can't prove it. Niralani, you have a steer in the Ramah now. The Ramah is like the Shach, which we all like, which is pretty mako. Clean Kalim, no problem. So why over here do you get into all this other craziness? The only thing I could think of, maybe, and not only that, it could be that he himself wrote Ayin Lekamet Siman Kuf Chaf Beis, or Kuf Chaf Aleph, whatever, and he meant to cross-reference. So what was he talking about? The only thing I could think of is that maybe here he was talking only about dirty kalim. And therefore what he's saying is, even if the kli is dirty, I can give you a kula if you have two other factors in your favor. If you're putting very dry food, and if the kli only got dirty through cold, not through heat, so the schmutz is not going to be as much, maybe that's what the Ramah meant. I can't promise you, because otherwise it's a steer in the Ramah. I can't promise you. Maybe that's what the Ramah meant, that over here he's saying, even for dirty kalim, I'll give you a little kula if you have two other factors locked out. And then looking for chaval, if it's a clean, you washed it well, and it came out of the dishwasher, or Cherniak would tell us it came out of the sink, then don't worry at all. Yeah?
If it's a dirty kli, then the way it was belayed shouldn't matter.
But it may be dirty from heat has more schmutz that's more sticky than dirty from cold.
What?
I know, I'm making that up. Lemaisa, so the answer is Tzorich Iyon, the Ramah. How come in Kuf Chaf Aleph is very posh to use the Shach, and over here he makes it so much more complicated? So I have a theory, possibly. Maybe there's another theory.
I mean, I guess the slight tweaking of
your theory, is if the Rama requires a shifshuf painting, right? So if it's just a kinuach or something that, like the Shach is talking about.
I mean, maybe here it's not a dirty plate, it's a semi-clean plate. That's the tweaking. That's certainly possible. Only got dirty kalim or semi-dirty kalim, right? Maybe like over here, as if they rubbed the plate a little with a napkin but didn't wash it well. That's possible as well.
Can't the Rama, in this sif, in this sif that we're talking about, it doesn't say anything that we're talking about a kli that means hetsher. It doesn't say a word about it. Well, the Rama is telling us we have to take this with a grain of salt. Because if it's a kli that means hagola, that's what it talks about in the Kuf Kaf Aleph. And it's a different halacha.
So what are we talking about here?
A kli that doesn't mean hagola.
What if, hold on, he says the karshal iser. So what does he mean by kli shel iser?
Can't be that it's something that was used that doesn't mean hagola. Wouldn't call it a kli shel iser?
I mean, it was only used for cold, non-salted, non-soaked trays.
Otherwise, it's impossible to understand why the Rama is following us to Kuf Kaf Aleph. Kuf Kaf Aleph has nothing to do with it. And here, Kuf Kaf Aleph, the whole sif starts with something that means hagol, and you didn't do it properly. So, lechora, if that's what the whole sif is talking about, the Rama was trying to say it.
Yeah. It's a little hard. Like, if here is a dozen hagol, he should be more makil. But the Rama here sounds more machor, so I don't think it's going to help us. And it's a bit strange why the Rama sounds so different, these two different simonim. Okay, I suggested a theory. Ellie, help me out a little.
Which one is what? In Tzadik Aleph, it's a kula. Because at the end of Kuf Kaf Aleph, the Rama says that it's only you can use a b'derech harai. Here it's a heta gomor. It's not a kula. Kuf Kaf Aleph is a kula, not a kula.
And you're saying here he's being makel even bit kvias. That's going to be hard to be svara, because the svara for asrin kviyas is gzeira, you might use a bechamin. So gzeira, you might use a bechamin. Who cares about yovei, shlach, etc.?
Because we're coming back to the same thing. Here you're talking about a kli that needs hagola, and here you're talking about a kli that doesn't need hagola. Oh.
I understand. It seems like a core argument theory is that the Rama is more makel than the shach.
According to my theory, correct. According to my theory.
Okay.
That is ironic, but that doesn't make it false. I wouldn't even say ironic. I would say surprising. Okay. The lemaisa. Let's now go to the halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. Dirty kalim. We're not sure what to say. I want to say there's a way to make it dirty kalim. Unclear. Let's get down the halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. We're talking about cold food in a tray kli. Without kavush or malicha. Right? We're not talking about soaking for 24 hours. That's a problem, because kavush can mavush. We're not talking about salting. We're just talking about putting cold food in a treif kli. Right? Just. No, let's not distinguish. The shach doesn't distinguish. Lemaisa, if it's a dirty kli, lemaisa will say usser. And if you did, then it needs hadacha. Right? And forget about my theory. What about a clean kli? So the shach agrees with our Rama later on. We have a shach, we have a Rama later on. What's the problem? Mutter, lechatchila, and there's no need for hadacha. Right? Totally mutter. This is why, for example, if what was that place in America called? Friendlies? Where they had kosher ice cream?
Yeah.
Is that true? They have kosher ice cream? Yeah, everyone says yeah. Okay, so in Friendly's is a treif restaurant, but they buy their ice cream from they don't make ice cream on the spot. They just buy ice cream in big tubs from a kosher company. So, if you go to Friendly's, you can have the ice cream, and you can even eat it what do they serve?
Glass.
Dish? You can even eat it in a glass dish, even eat it with a metal spoon, as long as they're clean, because it's cold food. So it's no problem. Cold food and a clean kli is okay. As long as Friendly's is a clean restaurant, then it's okay.
And there's no chashash if there's ever hot food in that kli.
Who cares if there's hot food in the kli? The shach says there's no difference in bala b'tzonein and bala b'chamin. As long as you're bringing cold food now, it's no problem. And the Rama in Kuf Kaf Aleph also says even if it needs hagolah because it had hot treif in it, it doesn't matter. Once you wash it well with a sponge.
But it comes out the dishwasher.
What?
What if it comes out of the dishwasher dry?
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. 3 seconds it cools down before they put the ice cream in. Give me a break.
Well, when you go to a hotel sometimes and they have like the stack of the bowls or whatever it is which are treated, but this will might be happening to the dishwasher, you know?
No, if it's hot when you put the ice cream in, it would be a problem, because then it would be like putting in hot ice cream.
Didn't you mention a few weeks ago
hold that thought. Okay, or another example would be, what if I want to go to a treif restaurant, and, you know, what if I go out to a treif restaurant or treif whatever with my coworkers, and what do you order?
Coke salad.
You order a Coke, right? What do you order in a treif restaurant? It's a Coke. Not in New York. In New York, if you go to a treif restaurant with your coworkers, you get a fancy steak meal from Abigail's Double Wrap. That's no problem. But if you're in London, okay. But let's say you're in London and they're not so fancy there. Then you order a Coke. Okay. That's what when I used to work in the outside world, so I would go out and order a Coke.
Isn't it a Mars Island?
What?
A Mars Island?
Coke? Alright, without getting into that. Okay. So, what if they give you Coke in a glass? Maybe that glass is treif. Right? Maybe they wash it in the dishwasher with the treif dishes. Maybe they serve treif liquors and I don't know. But it doesn't matter. As long as it's clean, I can drink the Coke in it because it's cold Coke in a clean glass. No problem.
According to some opinions, the glass would be fine anyway.
Correct. You're okay.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that at the end of the year. Okay, but however, there are two exceptions. However, there are two exceptions.
Starbucks.
That's hot.
Yeah, you don't usually get cold things at Starbucks.
No, so you can't use.
Okay. Continuing, now we can either read it from the Shach here, but as long as we have the Zirak, so let's continue in the Ramans and Kof Chav Aleph. He says, V'davka b'derech arai, k'gon shu b'veso v'kochav mo b'dieved. This is only true b'arai, like in a guy's house, or b'dieved, or in a special circumstance. Avalim rotso shamz v'keva. This is only b'arai, but b'kvios is a different story. Meaning, there's a famous case, the Pinchas de Rav Ami. Rav Ami's house, they had some pottery tray where they accidentally salted meat and didn't have holes to let the blood run out, so it became treif and they broke it. And everyone asked, why'd they break it? Why didn't they just use it to eat like fruit and bread and cold food? So the one of the answers is, because only ba'arai you can do this. But you can't b'kvius have a treif kli that you use for eating cold from. Why? Yesh machmirim ve'omrim dafilu shamshot zonin tzorach hagol liban. You have to kasher the hagol or liban, whatever it needs. Gzeira shem shamshot b'chamin Mordechai brokeach v'hachi nogin. Okay, hachi nogin. We say that b'kvius is usher because gzeira shema yishtamish bo. That makes a lot of sense. Let's say I treif up a plate. I treif up a serving tray, right? I know which one it is. It looks different from all my other plates. I treif it up accidentally. So I say, I'll keep it in my house. I'll only serve cold things on it. Right? I'll serve cookies for dessert on it. I won't serve, you know, hot pieces of schnitzel on it. I'll serve gefilte fish, which is cold, and I'll serve cookies and fruit and sliced vegetables, right? No problem. No, because, you know, if you use the kvias, if every day, you and every Shabbos, you use this tray, eventually you're going to forget and you're going to serve hot on it, and that will be not allowed.
Or if you mark it or something.
That doesn't matter. That if it's part of your normal kalim, you're going to mess up. Therefore, they mean zera, and the same thing for mina milk. Why can't I say, let's say I like to eat Cheerios and milk, so I'll use the fleishik bowls, and I'll eat my Cheerios and milk. It's all cold, no problem. So yeah, ba'arai, that's okay. Let's say, I don't know, I can't find any of my milk and bowls. My milk and bowls disappeared. I don't know where they went. It's like, yes, there's a famous road story like this, right? Where I guess it must have been a case of arai somehow. His wife found him eating ice cream or something off the good china, which is fleishik. She said to him, what are you doing? And yelled at him, and he said, no, it's a Raman Kuf Aleph, it's a Shach Tzadi Aleph, it's all okay, it's all in the Shulchan Aruch. And she said to me, between you and your Shulchan Aruch, you'll treif up my kitchen. So that says a lot about the Masorah of the Torah Simecha and the in Basav Chalav. this is really a takeoff on an earlier story of the Maharal Diskin. They say the scholars who have investigated the story point out that it's really must be an allusion to an earlier story of Maharal Diskin. They say the Maharal Diskin's wife used to put socks on the cat when he came in during the end of to the house during the end of Adar, beginning of Nisan, so he wouldn't track chametz from the street into the room she cleaned in the house. In those days, they had cats to catch the mice, not for pets. So she would put socks on the cat so he wouldn't track chametz in and take them off when he went in and out, so he wouldn't track the chametz in. So now that's against the second Mishnah of Psachim, right? The second Mishnah of Psachim says we're not choshes that Sheva Gerecholda, an animal, dragged chametz from a place that you cleaned, didn't clean, to a place that you cleaned. So the Maharal Diskin explained to his wife that the Shulchan Aruch says it's not necessary, and she said to him, between you and your Shulchan Aruch, we'll be eating chametz on Pesach. So it also shows a lot about the Torah Zinacha on Pesach. Okay, that is the famous story. So that must have been Barai. I, knowing a little about the history of the Rav, probably he one day he was, the wife was asleep or something, or she wasn't home, and he didn't know how to find the dishes. He didn't know which replacement, which were nothing anyway, so he was taking a 50-50 chance. And he said, it's okay, Barai, usually my wife's home. How am I supposed to know which dishes are which? So he said it was okay, and his wife got angry at him. Okay, but that's the classic Arai is you go to someone's house who doesn't keep kosher, right? Or you're staying in a hotel or something, or in some weird circumstance that comes up once that comes up rarely, then it'd be mutter. But bekvias, it's usher. You can't bekvias use fleishik dishes for cold milchik, or milchik dishes for cold fleishik, or treif dishes for cold kosher. You can't do any of this bekvias because we're afraid that eventually you'll mess up. It's only for special occasions, like if you're in a friendlies.
What if, like, you inherited, you know, a set of china from a relative that didn't keep kosher, so there's no way to kosher it? Like,
so you rely on Rav Moshe, and you kosher it after 12 months.
Okay, well, let's say you can. So
then you're like the Pincha and Rav Avi's house in the garden.
No,
throw it in the garbage.
Season this stuff? There's no,
you no have to, not bekvias.
Even if you marked it,
that you put it up on Craigslist and sell it to a guy. They still have Craigslist?
It's just, yeah.
Okay.
EBay. I don't understand the reason behind that.
Yeah, because it's a general minhag. Okay, it's not like, you know, all of our ancestors who had three sets of dishes.
For example, like, okay. you're gonna say that if you don't have your fleishik and your milking dishes marked or something like that, or we're not worried that you're gonna use them, that you're gonna mistake the.
No, because there's something you're supposed to use them for. So there's something you're supposed to use them for. Okay, the last din that comes up here is comes up already in the Rashba. But it's quoted in, it's not quoted in the Shach here. It's definitely in the Prima Gadim here. I don't know if it's quoted in the Pesach Tshuva. Yes. Klicheres is Aser, even Arai, even once. A Klicheres were Machru Lagamri. Why? Let's look at the Rashba. The on the Makor sheet I handed out, just the underlying part. Vav Pincha Disafer L'Ravami. Remember I told you that the Pincha, the Cheres tray that Ravami broke so it became treif? Why didn't he just serve food on it? The Tavar L'Ravami, Avgav L'Chodesh Shemuzer Yitzonei. Why didn't he just use it for cold? We said you can use it for cold even though it's treif. So one answer, Misham Gzerida Asus Shemuzer V'Chanu the Tavar L'Ravami. The Ramah quoted this from the Mordechai, but it's also in the Rashba. No, he didn't want to use it. Oh, how did... So first answer is he didn't want to keep it around. Kari means keep it around for a long time. Kvias, right? If you keep it around, it's going to become kvias. Because you might accidentally forget and use it for hot. The inami, second answer. Since it was cheres and absorbed through heat, ain la takana afilu b'tzonin. No, kli cheres, even cold, is no takana. Why? V'lasi harvich v'less afilu b'tzonin. It absorbs so much you can't even clean it. Even if you scrub it with a sponge, it won't get clean. And even if you put cold food in it, it'll get schmutz. V'hilka kol tzonin shnam shlo medich. And then you'd have to rinse everything. And since you might forget to rinse everything, it's usser. What's the principle? I don't know if anyone's ever eaten off pottery, unglazed pottery. Probably not.
You skipped a couple of words on purpose.
What?
Skipped a couple of words on purpose because that's the ego of the Rashba, and that's a tremendous finish for himself.
Which part? The Teda?
Ain't la takana afilu bitzonen de bolat yarbe ad shapoletet. Afilu bitzonen.
Yeah, I read those words.
Oh, I'm sorry, but...
Poletza, meaning, what does he mean there? A kli cheres is very, very absorbent. It's actually impossible to clean.
That's not what you said. That's why...
Okay, it's boleas...
According to the Rashba, the Rashba is mechadish, that there's a pleat of its own.
Exactly.
Not because it's dirty. There's a din of pleat of its own. That's what it says here in the Rashba. It's tremendous chiddush.
If you try eating off a kli cheres, it's not such a chiddush. They get so dirty that meaning they're so porous that there's always schmutz in the pores. And when you put an apple there or you put a cucumber in there, it'll get some of that schmutz. It'll come out of the pores. It'll be poli, even bitzoni. Normally, that won't happen in a normal kli, in a wood kli or a stone kli, etc. But cheres is so porous that even if you scrub it, doesn't matter. It'll be polate bitzone. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. Kli cheres is polate bitzone.
We're talking about time, not the end.
What?
We're talking about time, not the end. There's no plita at end. We're talking about a plita of blia bitzone. And it's a tremendous chiddush with the Rashba says. We don't find it anyplace. Where do we find plita bitzone? Kli cheres can't be kashered from whatever the Gemara says all over the Yiddish. Unless you put it in the kivsha. But here he's talking about a plita of a blia bitzonen.
It is a big chiddush.
But again, I don't think it's such a big chiddush because kli cheres will really do that. They're very schmutzy. Right? Meaning, you can never get a kli cheres clean. What does that mean? Why not? Because in the pores, there's always more schmutz, which will come out. As soon as you wipe off the schmutz, more schmutz will come out. That's plita of a bitzonen. Call it whatever you want. Maybe you'll accuse me of calling it ben. I have no problem with that. It's plata. The schmutz comes out of the pores, even bitzoni. How do we know that kli cheres is really disgusting and you can never clean it? Bring me two rayas, one from Shas, one from Life.
Shabbos,
right? Muksa machbas mius, right? A used cheres lamp is muksa because it's disgusting. What is that? While a used lamp of any other material is not muktamachus minus. What does that show? You use it once, it's disgusting forever. Another rye is the fact that nowadays no one uses kli cheres anymore, right? We only use glazed kli cheres. Why does no one use kli cheres anymore? Because it's too disgusting. So we don't use it. I mean, maybe a tribesman in someplace, I don't know. I didn't check in the Brazilian rainforest what they do. But no one in, you know, Western countries or even non-Western countries use this kli cheres anymore because they're too gross.
So the glazed kli cheres wouldn't be one of the exceptions.
Okay, so yeah, I'm trying to. You're right. I have an agenda. The Prima Gadim has a different perspective based on other Rishonim. The Prima Gadim here in the Sifsei Das Gimel. I'll just read you this part. He says, "Kol zeh b'shar kelim, avol kli cheres asher l'shtam shel shonei nafila de'adoch zakli ayin etc. etc. etc." Datam came into the Efshar Hagola Gazrina Yatirulo the Shtamish Derechara Yovel De Takala. What does the Prima Gadim say? He says for a different reason. Kevan De Efshar Le Hagil. You can't kasher it. Chayshinan Fe Shema Yishtamish Bo Bechamin. Even Barai, since you can't kasher kli cheres, we need extra gzeiros, right? A wood or metal or stone kli. You know what? If you really want to use it, you'll kasher it. So we don't need such a big gzeira. But you can't kasher kli cheres. Therefore, we have to be very machmir. We wouldn't even like use it once when it's treif, because since you can't kasher it, even if you use it once when it's treif, it might lead to using it for hot food. The big nafkamina between the Prima Gadim and the Rashba would be. What about our modern-day glazed kli cheres? We still can't kasher them, but they're not gross, right? So the Prima Gadim, the Chora, he would be matir our china dishes. He would be matir china, according to the Rashba, because china is not gross. We all know it's very clean. But the Prima Gadim would say that china is usher, even by Arai. Because whatever you can't kasher, they were more machmir, they were more afraid you'll mess up, and they ushered even by Arai. So therefore, many poskim say that nowadays you can't use this heter of arai on our dishes because they're kli cheres, and according to Prima Gadim, they were extra machra on them not to use them even ba'arai because you can't kasher them. However, niralini is daiti that I don't think we have to be so machmir because it's 2 days in the Rashba, 2 days in the Rishonim, whether we have a Chumrah of Kli Cheres. The Machaber and the Ramah don't mention the Chumrah of Kli Cheres. So maybe they were Gozer and Kli Cheres, maybe they weren't. Even if they were Gozer and Kli Cheres, maybe it's for the Rashba's reason, so it wouldn't apply to our China, which is clean. And maybe it's for the Prima Gadim's reason. And even if it's, if the Prima Gadim is correct, okay, not everyone agrees that our modern day China dishes are Balea and become Treif in the first place.
And that they're not kasherable in the first place.
And therefore, I think there's enough tzadin lehakel that lemaisa we can be makel not so pashut. Not everyone agrees. But lemaisa, I think certainly if one is in a situation where you're, you know, you need a kli, you can be makel against the Prima Gadim here.
I was just trying to put everything together. If the issue of chamin, why is that an issue if you have batel b'shishim?
First of all, who says you have batel b'shishim? Not every case you have batel b'shishim.
You have a clean plate, and then you have a piece of meat on it, so then what, the amount of treif on
it? No, not so pashut. For example, if you put a solid piece of meat on it, on a clean plate, then it's only bolea kadei klipa, the bottom layer. So there's no batel b'shishim. The bottom layer is very small. The bottom layer of the meat would be treif.
Wait, why?
Because the bottom layer of the meat is not 60 times the... the
treif that's coming out of the plate? Yeah, it is.
Okay, we'll have to see.
Wait, so it seems like we're making gezera on something that's mutter b'dievet.
No, not so much that's mutter b'dievet.
If it were about the b'shishim.
Yeah, but it's not. We would not. We don't. We assume la halacha that it's not about the b'shishim. Because we measure against the whole plate or against the whole layer of the plate, depending on the case. So it's not about the b'shishim. For reasons that we'll see.
No, okay. You said there's an opinion that you can kosher pottery today?
Well, there's an opinion that it's not bolea. Maybe not such a mainstream opinion, but there are those who tie into that our modern day plates are not bolea. Because of the glass.
They're like glass, basically, you're saying.
Yeah.
So they don't actually become trade.
Right. No, that's not a mainstream opinion. Right. I wouldn't rely on that. But certainly worth
being concerned. But it's not that you can kosher it. It's just that it doesn't become trade in the first place.
Right. Right. That's the more mainstream. Okay. The so again, according to the Prima Gadim, he might have killed this heter for all of our china. But it's not so posh that we have to be machmir like the Prima Gadim. Certainly we need to lachor, we can be makel against the Prima Gadim because A, this whole cheres thing is a machlok, not so posh that's usher in the first place, and even if it is usher, maybe it's usher for the Rashba's reason and not for the Prima Gadim's reason, and maybe our plates aren't really cheres anyway, maybe they're glass, so it's not so posh. Okay, I think that's about it for this shach. So again, this is a very big Indian halach lemaisa. In terms of Ba'arai really being mutter to have cold food on Treif Kalim as long as they are clean. Sif Gimel talks about Sarach Lizar Shlo Yiga Basar B'lechem. You have to be careful not to let your bread touch your meat. Why? Shem Yiga Basar L'Achlo In Gvina. Because if your bread touched your meat, then the bread becomes fleishig. And you're not allowed to eat it with cheese. Then you also have to make sure it doesn't touch the cheese, because if it touched the cheese, then it would become milchik and you wouldn't be allowed to eat it with meat. So basically, you can't let your bread touch fleishig or milchik, because you want your bread to stay parv, you don't want it to become milchik or fleishig.
Why do you want it to stay parv?
Okay. Good question. So that is a...
We already dealt with that.
but that is a bit of a machlokas between the shachs of cut and dalid and the...
Because then we have to take the bread off the table. That's what we
and the bitzchei tshuva. Right, okay, we just want to figure out exactly why. There's what would be the problem? So the shach says... The problem is, like, why don't you want your bread to become fleishig? Because you might forget and eat it with milk without washing it first. and you don't want to become milchik because you might forget and eat it with meat without washing it first.
If it's the last slice, you're allowed to finish it then?
So yeah, oh, we're only talking if you have leftovers here. We're not talking about this what you're eating right now. But that's what they would do in the old days, right? They would have a big loaf of bread, and they would eat some of it for one meal, and some of it for the next meal, and some of it for the next meal. So then you have to keep it fleishig or milchik. The Achronim, quoted in the fourth Pesukei Tshuva, ask, what's the problem? After all, it's like a gzera l'gzera. You might forget to wash it, and then you might eat it with milk. Why should we go through gzera l'gzera? It's not like treif, right? Like, maybe you'll forget to wash it. And even if you forget to wash it, you're still allowed to eat it with meat, if it's fleishik. And you'll forget to eat it with meat, and you'll eat it with milk. So why are we worried about gzera l'gzera? Like, that you'll forget two things. A, you'll forget to keep it fleishik. And you'll forget to wash it. What? Aha. So here is that the Priskei Tshuva Simchat Dalet brings down two opinions about this. The Knesset HaGdola and the Priskei Tshuva himself. So what's the question? The question is, it's a gzera l'gzera. Why? Because maybe you will forget to wash it, and even if you get to wash it, let's say you made a fleishik. What's the problem? Just make a deli sandwich. And maybe you will forget and eat it with milk. So why are we worried? It's gzera l'gzera. Why are we worried you'll forget two things? You normally only worry you'll forget one thing. So here, the Pesukei Tshuva brings down a machlokes about this. The Knesset HaGdola says, because you can't wash bread. Why can't you wash bread? Because it's very porous. If bread has schmutz on it and you wash the bread, what will happen? Will the schmutz wash off?
Further in.
No, it'll wash further in. So therefore, washing doesn't help. Wait. So therefore, it's really only one gzera. Washing doesn't help against the shach. Washing doesn't help. The gzera is you might eat it with milk.
It's not that you're forgetting. It's that you're not going to want to, or by doing it, it's not going to be effective. So I could just as easily... I'm not forgetting, so I could just easily cut off that slice.
That's exactly what the Pesukei Tshuva, or almost exactly what the Pesukei Tshuva says against the Knesset HaGdola. He says, no, but even if you can't wash it, there's some way to fix it. So it's still gzera l'gzera. You'll forget to fix it however you can, and you'll forget to eat it with milk. So the Pesukei Tshuva gives a different answer. He says, basically, the Knesset HaGdola crosses out the first one. He says, washing doesn't help, so it's only one gzera. Which Isaac and the Pesukei Tshuva have the same problem with. The Pesukei Tshuva himself crosses out the second one. He says, you don't understand how they used to eat in the old days. Anyone know how they used to eat in the old days? You ate everything with bread. Right? Remember like Hilchos Brachos? Bread is the staff of life. You eat everything with bread. Everything else is l'lafes bo'es ha'pas. Everything else goes with bread. But everything is bread. Everything else is just something you put on the bread. It's not like us nowadays. Nowadays we only eat bread once in a while or for ritual purposes. Right? But in those days, no. Bread was what you ate. That was what you lived off. Everything else was a nice thing to accompany the bread. So therefore, says Pesukei Tshuva, what do you mean, maybe you'll forget to eat it with milk? No! Everyone eats bread with everything in their house. That's the Derech HaOlam. You always eat bread with everything in your house, so it's not a maybe. If you have bread, you will for sure eat it with everything in your house, because that is the normal Derech HaOlam, that you never eat anything without bread. You don't eat cheese without bread in those days, and you don't eat meat without bread in those days. Everything goes with bread.
It's still maybe that you would eat it with the wrong...
No, because it's a chazakah that you eat bread with everything. It's a chadzaki, you eat bread with everything. Now, Zev's tiny, it's still not so pashat. After all, maybe it's only one end. You can't eat one end with everything. But okay, those are two ways to get out of the gzera l'gzera. The Knesset HaGdola says, cross out the first one. Washing doesn't help. It's just one gzera, you might forget and eat it with milk. The Pesukei Tshuva cross out the second one and says, it's only one gzera, you might forget to wash it. But you'll for sure eat it with milk, because everyone eats bread with everything, because that's the Derech HaOlam. Okay. L'maisa, what about the washing in the end? So the Pesach Yeshiva says, what's the halach l'maisa? Can you wash bread if it's fleishik or treif or not? Does washing help for bread or not? So the Pesach Yeshiva says, washing doesn't help for bread because washing only helps for normal things. Bread is so porous that if it has shmutz and you wash it, the shmutz will go further in. It won't go off. Says the only thing that helps for bread is what's called greda. You have to scrape off the edge. You can either cut a slice or just scrape off a little of the shave off the outer layer. Basically, for bread, washing is not good enough. You have to do what's called greda, which is scraping off the edge. So if you scrape off the edge, all the shmutz will fall off. However, in the end, he says it depends. It depends if it's on the inside or the crust. The crust is hard, so if you get shmutz on the crust, you can wash it off. The inside is very soft and fluffy, so then you'd have to scrape off the outer layer and washing wouldn't help. And that's his psak in the end, that washing helps to clean the crust of the bread, but the inside white fluffy part, washing doesn't help. You have to actually scrape off the whole layer from the outside where it touched. Okay. So that is, now we finished the part of Siman Sadi Aleph, which deals with cold touching cold. Now we're up to hot. Now here it gets a little tricky because there are two simanim we're going to learn this year which discuss hot food or salted food or touching each other. Siman Sadi Aleph and Bas B'Chalav and Siman Kof Hei and Hilchos Taruvos, which is about mixtures of kosher and treif. The Shulchan Aruch here is not organized the way the contemporary books are, very, very nicely organized. He sort of puts half the halachas of hot food touching hot food in Siman Sadi Aleph, or salting food touching salting food, Siman Sadi Aleph in Bas B'Chalav, and half of them in Siman Kof Hei when it comes to Hilchos Taruvos in a somewhat of a random fashion. So what we're going to do, though, is we'll go Seder, we'll learn the half of them that are in Sadi Aleph, when we get to Kofei, we'll fill in, we'll mention what's left to fill in, we'll fill in the other half of them that we find in Siman Kofei. Let me just ask, where are people up to in Seder? Everyone shout at the same time what Sif you're up to?
Sadi
Aleph. Sif, Sif.
Hey,
Gibel.
Okay, I see not everyone has finished Sif Dalid, etc., etc. yet. let's just have at least a bit of an introduction to Sif Dalid. Sif Dalid is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel Psachim Daf Ayin Vav. The machlokas is, what if you have cold food touching cold food? We've covered that already. That's the last three simple. If you have hot food touching hot food, so that's a problem. That causes a blia. We'll have to get into a little exactly how deep a blia, but that's obviously a problem. Hot food touching hot food is mixing hot food. Is, you know, potential bishul bas rechav. What if you have hot food touching cold food? Does that count as hot? Or does that count as cold? A valid question. Anyone want to tell me what sugi and hilchos Shabbos this is reminiscent of? Okay, we'll get to it. So, what if you have hot food touching hot, touching cold food? So, Rav and Shmuel have machlokas in Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav, whether tata'a gavar or ila'a gavar. Does the bottom win or the top win? Meaning, Rav says ila'a gavar. The top wins. If the top is hot, it's all considered hot. If the top is cold, it's all considered cold. And Shmuel says tata'a gavar. No, the bottom wins. If the bottom is hot, it's all considered hot. If the bottom is cold, it's all considered cold. Even though normally, who do we pass like an Isurim? Rav. In this case, we pass like Shmuel, because the Gemara brings a Raya from the Tanoim, from the Brisa that Shmuel is correct. So we pass like Shmuel, that Tata Gavar. Meaning, if one food is hot, the other food is cold, you go by the bottom food. The bottom food wins. What? So it's unclear why. The Gemara never says why. Some of the modern day Mefarshim want to say what Isaac just said, because heat rises. So if heat rises, that means the bottom one should win. Why? If the bottom one's hot, the heat should rise and get into the top one. And if the bottom one's cold and the top one's hot, then the heat should rise out of the top one and dissipate into the air and not go into the bottom one. So maybe because heat rises, I have no idea. I don't know exactly in what media heat rises and what media it does not. I'm not sure.
Well, the Russian bring also a svara that you would call them.
Correct. So this depends on the different deos in the Shach later on in Sifkat and Sadi Beis, Simit Sadi Beis, Sifkat and Lamed, maybe, someplace. It is someplace, 1 second. Okay, I have to find where it is. Anyway, later on, there's a discussion in the Shach whether tata'a means whatever's on the bottom or whatever is stationary. Because usually, like, the top falls onto the bottom. So, clearly, if it's whatever's on the bottom, maybe tata'a gavra because he rises. If tata'a means whatever is stationary, then maybe somehow, I'm not sure, whatever is stationary.
Something falls into the soup. That's the case of the...
Yeah, what if it starts on the top and lands on the bottom? Okay, we'll get to that. Good.
We're saying hot here, we're talking about has to be yes, one of them?
Yes, absolutely.
There must be discussion amongst the commentaries what the svara behind Rav and Shmuel is.
Not so much. Lemaisa, the Rav, was once asked about it. And so the Rav says, what, you think Rav and Shmuel are arguing about what's hot and what's cold? Rav and Shmuel are arguing about what's considered a halos bishul. Is the derech bishul to have heat on top, and that's considered a maisa bishul, or is it a maisa bishul to have heat on the bottom? They're arguing about what's called halachli a halos bishul. And now, this is not so pashut, because who cares what's called halachli a halos bishul? We care if it's hot or if it's cold. So Rav says, no. In Basar B'cholav and Helvis Taruvos, things only count as a bliya if they're halachli chalos. I don't care whether they're actually hot or they're actually cold. There's only considered a bliya, it's only considered a tam if there's a halachic chalos of bishul. And therefore he says they're arguing about whether there's a halachic chalos of bishul here. Okay, could be. But that's not the way everyone else understood. Everyone else understood they're arguing about whether it's hot or cold. Like, does the bottom one win or the top one win? I'm not sure what the science behind it is.
I mean, it can't be that they were just arguing in Matthias, right?
It
seems like...
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a bit mysterious. I'll be the first to admit that, like the Rav, I don't fully understand exactly what the pshat is here. So the Rav just said, oh, they're arguing about what's a chalos bishul, and then Shalom Yisrael, and he moved on. I don't fully understand exactly what they're arguing about. Lemaisa, they're arguing about whether it's a tagover or a lagover. I'm not sure I fully understand the svaras behind it, scientifically or otherwise. There's an interesting machlokas between the Aruch HaShulchan and everyone else in the world. If you just look at the last thing in this page, I want to finish the page I handed out.
The svar is very good.
Yeah, I know. That's where it's more of a chiddush. Yeah, shkayach, but the Rav
and
a chanami, but the Rav had to cover Tarubas as well. That the original context. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll just look at the underlying part. He says he asked a very famous, very posh question. I will read from the beginning. Odi Yisrael, the Echnas Chazal Klal was a lomer to talk over. Im came Nafal Harbi Chol Roteach Amat Baser Tzoning Venomer to talk over. Harz Elyon says, hold on a second. We all know the law of physics. If you mix a hot food and a cold food, is it going to end up hot or cold? Depends on
which one's hotter,
or cooler, but more so on which one's bigger and smaller. Everyone knows if you have a boiling hot dog and a gallon of cold milk, it will end up cold. Right? If you have a gallon of boiling milk and a cold potato chip, it will end up hot. Right?
Unless the other thing is really, really hot.
Okay, correct. So he says... He says, hold on, if there's a lot of hot milk on the top and a little cold meat on the bottom, it's all going to be cold? How can that be? Right? It can't be. It's against the laws of physics. So he says, in Sifyud Beis, the underlying part of Yerali Barer, the Mayrish Shoven Hein Be HaKamos, Advachluks Ram and Shmuel is only if they're the same quantity, if they're the same volume. If one is bigger, of course it's Gover. Whatever's bigger wins. Ram and Shmuel are only arguing when they... top and bottom are the same size. Then does the top win or the bottom win? The erech hachalav kein hu kamas habaser, and when they're the same, v'chein nechlu chazal ha'eichos shall be gover elyon tachtok. When they're the same amount, then they argue which quality of the top or bottom will win. V'ifska alach tachton gover, and we paskin the tachton is gover. Okay, that's the basic sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. It makes a lot of sense scientifically. He says if one is bigger and one is smaller, of course the bigger one is gover. Right? The machlokas is only if they're the same size. However, none of the poskim agree with the Urcha Shulchan. All the poskim assume, no, it doesn't matter which is bigger, which is smaller. Rav says he law gavar, chok lo yavor. Shmuel says that ta gavar, chok lo yavor. In the Sefer Badei HaShulchan, he says, hold on, if it doesn't matter which is bigger, which is smaller, then how can you say ta gavar? Right? If you have a lot of cold milk falling on a little hot meat, how can the hot meat win? It's so small. So he says, they're not really, or it doesn't mean gavar, doesn't mean it'll all turn hot or it'll all turn cold. Obviously, if you want to know if it ends up hot or ends up cold, then whatever's bigger is going to win. Here it means when it first mixes, is it good? There going to be a transfer of taste, or is there not going to be a transfer of taste? Then it doesn't matter which is bigger, which is smaller. Because when they first meet, one stays hot, one stays cold, you just want to know in the initial interaction, will the hot one win and allow the tam to transfer, or will the cold one win and the tam won't transfer, it'll just need to be rinsed? And that's where we say, machloksin tata gavar and yilah gavar. So even though the Urcha Shulchan seems to make sense, he takes gavar very literally, scientifically, says, well, of course the bigger one wins. Machloksin Rav Shmuel is only for the same size. None of the Achronim agree with him. All the Achronim say, no, it's just a rule, tata gavar. In which case, you have to say tata gavar doesn't mean the bottom one makes the top one the same temperature as itself. No, that depends on the volume. It means the bottom one is koveya, whether there'll be a transfer of a blias tam or there won't be a blias tam. And that's how we paskin, that the bottom one is koveya, whether there'll be a blias tam or not.
I understand, but since when does the transfer of tam only go one way?
No, it goes both ways. But if the bottom one is hot, it goes both ways. And if the bottom one is cold, it goes neither way. Because the tata is gavar. So what does that mean? If a cold piece of cheese lands on a hot hamburger, they're both treif. If a cold piece of cheese lands on a hot burger, tata gavar, they're all treif. If a hot piece of cheese lands on a cold burger, tata gavar, they're both kosher.
Why?
Because since it's cold, tata gavar, and that's considered a meeting of cold things, and it doesn't have the power to transfer the time.
According to everyone except the Urcha Shulchan, if you had a little piece of cheese, and it was cold, and you're saying you have like this big sizzling steak that came off the thing and flew and landed on the cheese, we're saying they're both kosher.
Yes.
Okay. Even if the cheese is like melted or whatever.
I see. So that's what Menachem's been Ramas to before. What if it one starts out top and bottom and then they switch? Like what if a lot of milk lands on a hot dog, but then the milk goes on the bottom and the hot dog floats to the top, for example? There are those who are machmir that you'd have to take into account. You have to be machmir both ways and it would be usser.
Even if it doesn't switch, if there's a siman adava that there was a bishul here, maybe the din should be different. I don't know. If the cheese completely melted.
Maybe.
Slippery slope? I don't know.
Okay, the only, however.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Or if the shulchan, what he says, is based on everything of the Shabbos, the Gabi liquids. So before he has a good basis for what he says.
No, but in Hilchas Shabbos, that's only talking about mixing liquids and liquids.
But the svara works.
Right. Okay, but none of the poskim say like him. I hear the svara. It's a good svara, but none of the poskim say like him. I don't know. Lamaisa, what is the Gemara paskin? Like Shmuel Tata Gavar. What does Tata Gavar mean? Let's just review what the Gemara says, and we'll come back to the Shulchan Aruch next time. Cold on top of hot Tata Gavar, then they are both usher. What if the hot lands on cold? Tata gavar, and what would you think, perhaps? But the Gemara says, ad the maker lay, while it's cooling off, according to Rashi, or the Urcha says, while it's pressing down on it, from the Lashon Yakar, Kaved, Bala Kedei Klipa, ad the maker lay, Bala Kedei Klipa, says the Gemara. So therefore, it's not like if the bottom is hot, it's usher, if the bottom is cold, mutter. The bottom is cold, almost mutter. But still, there's still some heat on top. So therefore, while it's cooling off, like that residual power of the top heat, is enough to make a bli if they cleave on the outer layer. So therefore, this would be, they would both be osur kedei klipa. What does that mean? You just have to take a very good knife, peel off the outer layer of both of them, throw it in the garbage. Outer meaning where they met. You don't peel off the bottom of the sides, right? Just the top of the,
does that
this.
Knife then become treif?
What?
Does that knife
become treif? No, because l'chora only like the outside of the outer layer is treif, and the where it cuts is kosher. Besides the fact that it might be cold by now, so it's okay. So the mice, you'd have to peel off the outer layer and throw that out, and the rest of it would be mutter. That's called the makerly bolikini klipa. Anyone who's learned Hilchas Shabbos in elementary school, high school, yeshiva, etc., in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch conclude from this sugya. What halacha did they learn from the sugya in Hilchas Shabbos? Hot land gone cold. What do we call that in Hilchas Shabbos? Iri, right? What does Iri mean? You're pouring hot and it's landing someplace cold. What's the halach of Iri Klibishon? Is it Mavashal or not? The answer is, the post can say, you see from the sugya, it's Mavashal Kedei Klipa. Only the outer layer. And that's how the, that's the Maskan of Tosos all over in various contexts.
Just use the, an example opposite of what you said to me, because here they're comparing it to liquids and you said before that we can't compare it.
No, I'm comparing it to a liquid landing on a solid in Hilchas Shabbos. Let's say I poured...
Usually the sugya of Iri Klibishon is talking about liquids to liquids, isn't it?
Okay, then... Okay, but that's not what I meant. Okay, anyway, we'll come back to Siddalit, Amir Tz Hashem, next time.